Even in a day when sin is accepted and the people hung and for pleasure, oh, heal our land, take away the stones and build a tower that the rich man won as soon as hour that we might stand. We might stand. Sit a watchman on the tower. Everybody stay awake. The enemy is closer than you think. With the watchman on the tower, we will hear the trumpet sound and be ready to trample the enemy down. Jerusalem and Judah have fallen. They displayed their wicked sin like Sodom. Forgive them, Lord.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are.
Okay, cool. All
right. Watchmen cast 2.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
Nice.
And I see Cloud is here too.
Yeah. I don't know. I really don't have a whole lot to say on this episode. I feel like this was done a lot better than the first episode, at least.
Yeah, maybe it was an improvement. I guess we can kind of go through, like, scene by scene, just since we're doing, like, an episode-by-episode review.
Yeah.
So it starts off this time with a scene from Germany, I think.
Yeah.
Where there's, like, what seems like a Nazi officer, but you thought it was World War One, like, writing about how much better German-race relations are than in the U.S.
Yeah, no, it's definitely World War One because this takes place in 20... I mean, like, it starts out in 21, and so, like, Lou Gossett's father is, you know, was a military officer, so it makes sense. Like, he was in World War One. And based on, like, uniforms and the weapons they had, it's definitely World War One era.
Okay.
But they sent out these...
Yeah,
like,
well, the thing is, like, World War One was already over by 21, so that right. was kind of, like, throwing me off. But maybe that was set in, like, 1918 or 1919 or whatever, like, the end of the war.
Yeah, I have to say so. But like, it's a German officer that takes, like, a typewriter lady and, has her type out English to... as propaganda to the troops to try to dehumanize them or basically like demoralize them regarding like, you know, you don't need to fight us. And they basically like hit where it hurts with these, you know, the black soldiers regarding them fighting for a country that doesn't respect them at all. And which I find interesting because I know, I feel like the French did treat their, they had a black army as well, but I know the French treated their African-American units a whole lot better than what the Americans did.
Well, there wouldn't be African-Americans. They'd be African-French.
That's true, yes, because of their French. Like, it's... And I know, like the natives and stuff, like, regardless of their skin color, they you know, welcome, like, you know, the, like, black people into their country to help fight for their nation. So that's yeah. actually not too... Like, that's not too out there. Like, that's actually, like, I can see that. I'm kind of like, well, I mean... Well, the way I understood like with history is that Jesse, like when Jesse Owens played at the 36 Olympics in Berlin, like, you know, it was always like, oh, Hitler's a, you know, racist because he never like shook or met with Jesse Owens. He had a B somewhere, but I think it was like written or documented somewhere that he did meet Jesse Owens either before the race or well after and like congratulated him on his win or whatever. So like, yeah, Hitler like wasn't a racist against black people, just Jews.
Well, I think that they all often say like Hitler was like angry while he was watching the race or something because a black guy won, but black people almost always win like sprinting events at the Olympics.
Right, they're naturally more athletic.
Yeah, like they have faster legs because they have to deal with like I don't know, you know, there are higher evolutionary pressures in the jungle or whatever in Africa, so they have to be, you know, capable of, like, running away from jaguars and stuff, you know? Like,
yeah, that makes sense.
So that's, like, how they evolved. And so that's, like, a skill they have is to, like, run really fast. And so...
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that's something that, you know, is one of their assets. And I don't know if Hitler, like, knew that before this. Like, if he had heard about, like, other Olympics where black people won or...
Hmm.
or maybe he didn't know about this and he got angry. I don't know. I haven't actually seen like footage from that Olympics, but I think they did like film it and use it in like Nazi propaganda, like that. What's her name? Winnie Riefenstahl that did like Triumph of the Will and these other Nazi documentaries.
I need to see Triumph of the Will eventually. I'd just be really curious just to kind of watch that.
Yeah, I know that back in the day, Gatomat used to say, like, I love all movies. Like, there's no such thing as a bad movie, because he would be, like, defending, like, the Alvin and the Chipmunks or whatever. And then HG Revolution would come on there, and he was Jewish, so he would be like, well, okay, what about Nazi movies? Do you like Triumph of the Will? And he's like, yes, I like all movies. They're all good. And he's just, like, so autistic, he can't understand the concept of quality and, like, something being bad or anything. So he'd be like, yeah, that's a great movie. But I think, like, objectively, there are some, like, racist movies, like Birth of a Nation is another one.
Yeah. I need to see that, too.
They're objectively, like, good movies that created, like, pioneering technologies in terms of, like, how they were filmed or whatever. And I've not actually seen either one of these movies. So. Yeah. I don't know whether they hold up or not, but, you know, the Triumph of the Will, like, supposedly it's well shot or whatever, and, like, it's an effective propaganda movie or whatever, even if it's got a messed up message, you know?
I felt like I saw part of that movie in college. Like, I think we had to take a documentary class, and I don't know if it was for that class or another class that I had that somebody brought up Triumph of the Will.
They actually showed it in school?
I think we saw like a trailer of it or something, or like a little like clip of it. One of my professors showed it.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if it was for my documentary class or not, because it is considered a documentary. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of like, I've always been like really curious at how like, you know, kind of well done that shot. Because really the only German movie I've seen, well, two of them is Run Lola Run and Fritz Lang's Metropolis, which that was shot in the 20s or late 20s during their depression.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have seen some, like, German expressionist films, like Nosferatu and...
yeah, I haven't even
Triumph
seen
them. Not Triumph of the Will. Metropolis, yeah. And yeah. There was maybe another one. I think I might have seen M, which is another one by Fritz Lang. There's, like, one called The Golem that's, like, this Jewish film. It's, like, some sort of mythological, like, Jewish hero that... is like comes to life out of clay or rocks or something like that, and that was like another silent film that I saw.
Huh.
But yeah, those are interesting to see. Cabinet of Dr. Caligari is another one that has like these strange backgrounds that they made and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can definitely see some interesting stuff in those older films. Like it's much less you know, mass produced and cookie cutter than like a modern Hollywood movie or whatever. They're really experimenting mm-hmm. with different techniques and stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
they'll air that stuff on TCM a lot. They have like a silent Sunday night mm-hmm. segment where they'll air like old silent films, and a lot of them are German because they were like really pioneering in that stuff. But a lot of those films were like destroyed by the Nazis, unfortunately, because they're being made by Jews and that sort of thing.
That's true. I mean, like based on Metropolis, I mean that's a really cool movie just to watch at least like once in your lifetime.
Yeah, I saw that one in theaters, actually. There was this really cool, like, art house theater in downtown Tempe, Arizona, yeah, where they would air, or maybe it was Mesa, but they would air, like, old cult classics and stuff. And they aired a version of it that had George Moroder music, which I don't know if that really fits the time period, but it was an interesting experience.
I guess getting back to Watchmen, so it's like this random, like this flashback to it, and I know like there was a, and then it gets to where Regina King has got Lou Gossett, like, you know, like after like she's got, you know, basically like, you know, coming with me or whatever. You apparently you said you killed my, you know, the chief of police, but I don't believe it, and. It was kind of like this whole, like, thing of it's like, yeah, I can, you know, make things float if I wanted to. And she just gets, like, really upset and then changes her clothes and then, like, goes back out to the crime scene where, you know, the chief, she just saw the chief hours before. But she gets, like, a DNA sample of Lou Gossett, because, and then she eventually like scans it at the this history museum called the Greenwood Center or whatever, and I'm like, wait, that's named after the town I'm currently living in right now. That's interesting.
Well, actually, there's like a Greenwood neighborhood in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which was one of the, it's what they now call Black Wall Street. I don't think it was actually called that at the time, but like,
it was a nickname.
But at the time, I think they called it Greenwood, and then later on, to make this event seem more dramatic, they called it Black Wall Street, even though it was not like a financial district or anything, but they just call it that because to make it seem more wealthy and that kind of thing. So, that's why they have that in there, because it's all like, all the stuff about them getting reparations or redfordations for people who live in that neighborhood and all this kind of stuff. And so they have like this computer program that's all about like, it says Greenwood at the start of that, I think, where it's like Henry Louis Gates Jr. that's talking to her. And he's like this, this black professor that was involved in this incident about 10 years ago where he tried to break into his own home after he got home from vacation and his door was stuck.
Yeah.
And the neighbor called the cops on him and Obama had to denounce the cop. And then they all met together in the White House for the beer summit and everything. So I think that was like a deliberate choice to have that guy be associated with this, because he's considered to be like a victim of modern racism or something like that. So they had to incorporate him into this movie, this series in some way.
Yeah, well, I think anybody that's trying to break into someone, their own house, or looks like it's breaking in, it's going to scare any neighbor. It doesn't really matter, if it's a race issue or not. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, you can say it shows something about like how... sort of isolated people are in the modern U.S. where they don't know who their own neighbors are.
Yeah,
but at the same time, he was like away from the house for a long time, so like maybe he doesn't live there much, and it's like a vacation home or something. I don't know, but yeah, it supposedly he was like banging on it and like screaming or something. So yeah, I can understand they think it was a burglary or something.
Yeah,
they might not want to go out and see who's there. They might just hear the noise and call the cops. I don't know.
Yeah, like, we should probably let the police handle this, so.
Yeah.
It's interesting how they have, like, a DNA database set up at that center. And it's for, like, it's supposed to, to know, like, if you are related to, if your ancestors were part of the Tulsa, massacre or whatever. And it's kind of like, were they able to get, like, a whole DNA thing of every person that was, like, involved in that? That's what I kind of find, like, interesting. Like, how do they get all this? It doesn't make any sense there. And I think it's...
Well, they have, like, ability to tell, like, this many of your ancestors are alive, this many of your descendants are alive, and you were affected by this incident. And it's like, how are they determining all of this?
Yeah.
Like, they don't even know if the guy who was the cause of the incident, the guy who fell on the girl in the elevator, is alive or not. Like, if you go on his Wikipedia page, it's like, it says, like, birth date, like, 1904 to, and then ? They don't even have, like, the records of whether or not this guy is alive or what happened. They just say, oh, he moved to Kansas City. And so it's like, well, don't they have, like, birth records and death records of all the citizens in this country? But I guess they don't really keep up with it enough.
They didn't really... they didn't really keep up with it, like, at that time. And especially, like, if you're black, then, they wouldn't really care, probably, at that time, depending on where you're from. But you imagine there's got to be some
Social Security and income tax. So there was no direct involvement of the federal government in most people's lives back then. They didn't transfer money to people. There was no... there was no Medicare or Medicaid or anything.
Right.
Like, the federal government was pretty much just involved with national defense and tariffs, and that was, like, all they did. So...
Back when it was simple.
In the mail service, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, there was, like, not very much that they were doing before, like, before FDR. So yeah, there's no way they would have had DNA samples of everyone who lived in the neighborhood back then.
Yeah,
like, did people even know how to take a DNA sample back then? I don't know. Like, that might have been beyond, like, detectives' means, even, for, like, someone who's involved in
crime. Detectives weren't even taking DNA samples until, like, what, maybe the 60s or 70s or something? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Crime scenes, like, it's just, like, in the 30s or 40s, it's just like, well, We don't know, like, the guy's dead. We don't know who did it. And we don't know that pile of crap or piss in the corner is the suspect's or the person that's dead on the floor. It looks like we got ourselves another cold case there, eh, Tony? Like...
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean...
You solve a case, like, but if there's another person that happened to see what was going on.
Yeah. So, like, the case that started this whole thing was, like, an alleged rape. So they could have done, if it was today, they could have done, like, a what they call, like, a rape kit or something like this on this woman to see, like, is there, like, DNA from this guy's semen on her or, like, what happened in the elevator? They could have figured it out with, like, with DNA evidence. But back then, it was just, like, him versus her on terms of the word. And back then, they would usually believe, like, the white woman over the black man in the white community, and they believed the black man over the white woman in the black community. And so then people just came to blows with, like, guns because they couldn't solve it scientifically, so they just solved it with force, right? Yeah. So they just started killing each other. So that was how things actually were back then. They didn't have a DNA database of everyone who was affected by this violence. Like, it's just silly. Yeah. Like, what about the 25, like, white people that died in this conflict? Did their descendants get red predations? Because there were, like, 10 white people that got massacred over the rumor that he got lynched, right? So something that was like what started this whole riot. So did their descendants get red predations? I don't think they do. But, I mean, like, the whole scenario is just far-fetched. But it is a comic book show.
Exactly, it's a comic book show. Yeah, there's kind of just only so much you can put into it. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, like, it's a comic book show, so you would expect there to be, like a, some sort of, you know, just, like, a hero and a villain, and they, like, are fighting over, you know, the villain breaks into a bank and wants to steal some money or something. Like, traditionally, that's what comic books kind of are, right? It's just, like, a guy, guys in costumes fighting each other, but this tried to be, like, more ambitious and include all this, like, realistic history and like, racial commentary and stuff, so you kind of have to analyze it on that level, because that's, like, what it is, more than a comic book show.
Well, it gets... Oh, what was it? They, well, going back to the story, they get to the, you know, it's everyone's out there, you know, getting the chief down or whatever, and you got that, like, Rusky-looking-sounding guy or whatever. I don't even know who the heck his name is, but the Russian guy. So they decide to go to, like, Nixonville, which is, like, basically, like, the white trash area of Tulsa, Oklahoma, or whatever.
Are you talking about the guy that wears the red mask and every single sentence he has includes the word fuck?
Yes. Because he was just like, let's go over to Nixon Town and fuck him up. You want to fuck him up? You know, Regina King, and she's just like, you know, okay, fine, sure, I guess, you know, like...
Well, she thinks he's, like, too hardcore. She keeps saying, like, we don't have to do it. To do this because he's like really wants to like start a fight with these guys and then he does and then one of them comes at her after she's like trying to like downplay the situation or whatever, and then she like beats the shit out of him and starts like banging his head into the ground over and over.
It was kind of like because like that's apparently brewing all like that's like the cesspool of like where all these like racist people are is from this one trailer park in Tulsa
that has a giant Nixon statue. Yeah, it's kind of nice. So the red mask guy's like, I'm going to take that thing down if you guys don't do what I want you to do.
Yeah. God, what was it? I don't know, like, not a whole lot really happened in this episode. I think the most interesting part is when they go to Jeremy Irons, like, castle, the old guy.
Yes, and, that's the best scene.
Yeah, and then...
I like this scene.
Yeah, so he basically makes his butler, or not butler, but, like, his helping... his handmaiden or maid and his servant as part of a play that he puts on just for... They put on for him just for his amusement because he wrote it. And basically,
they're essentially his slaves. Like, they'll die for him.
Yes, and that's exactly what happened in this one, where he basically, like, she puts this one of them into, like, this actual furnace, and they're, like, acting it out like it's, you know, it's a play, so they're only putting so much emotion into it. And then the guy gets in the box, and they're doing the whole, like, I love you, I can't get out of here. And then Jeremy Irons goes up to, like, the giant... like, comedically, like, TNT detonation box, pulls down on it and fries his servant to a crisp in there. And I'm just going, what the fuck? And then, like, one of the other servants...
He's trying to reenact the origin of Dr. Manhattan.
Oh, yeah, because then the Dr. Manhattan guy shows up with a fencing mask on that's spray painted blue, but it's got, like, the eyes marked out. And he's totally naked, and they paint his body blue, even his dick blue.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the... And then it's just like, you know, the end, and he's just like, wow, that was such a good play. And then they bring the servant guy out of the inferno or the box or whatever. And then the other two people that had their mask on, they were like the prop guys. They all look alike. So I guess he's cloning them somehow. I don't know. And then he's like, you will be the next person. They're like, oh, it's such an honor. And I'm like, what is going on here?
And then he like digs the corpse out of the box, and he like finds the watch on him.
Yeah.
And then he like starts the watch back up. He's like, it's only beginning, or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Same like ominous for the future.
Yeah, but then we're getting to like some of the good parts where like we find that Don Johnson, aka Chief of Police, has a KKK robe in his closet. Mm-hmm. And Regina King brings it back to Lou Gossett, and she's like, did you know about this? Did you put this in there? And he's just like,
he has skeletons in his closet, so yeah. She interpreted that literally.
Yeah. And he's just like, hell, I don't know what is in his closet. I've never been to his house before. How would I know? That's on you if you found that. And just, yeah. Like, Lou Gossett has, like, gives, like, his acting is so perfect regarding him just not giving a crap. And just like, now that he's gotten older, he's even more of a senile old man, and it's just so fantastic. Like, that guy has not lost his touch.
Yeah, he's pretty stoic, I guess. And then when he's talking to her, she's like, oh, did you try to frame him and make him seem like a bad guy when he's really not? And then the phone rings, and they're telling her that she's his granddaughter.
Yeah, that's kind of like the cliffhanger thing at the end where they're related to each other. Then she's trying to get him to the car to take him someplace. And then he mentions how he has friends in high places, which I think are aliens, because then they decide to abduct him in her car with
she's
a giant
like
magnet.
Him.
Yeah, it's like a half arrest thing where she's like, you know, trying to get him in the car or whatever. And then he gets taken away by whoever. And that's kind of how the episode ends. And then also the ending theme is a Beastie Boys song, which was pretty cool.
Then the next episode preview has like Laurie Strode, aka the Silk Spectre from the original Watchmen comics.
That's who she is.
There will actually be characters from Watchmen appearing in Watchmen, maybe.
So in the movie Silk Spectre, like, the new one was her daughter or something that came from the comedian, because he, like, banged her on a pool table or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of totally forgot about old woman Silk Spectre, to be honest, until you just brought that up, because I didn't know who that woman was.
Well, this is set 30 years later, so I thought that was supposed to be, like, the second Silk Spectre. She's, like, gotten old.
I guess that would make sense.
Because the other one, I think she'd just be dead or something. Like,
yeah.
Maybe she's still alive. I don't know.
I mean, that would also make sense, too. And, yeah, so I guess that's not the same actress from the movie, because that's been 10 years. Unless they just CGI her to look like all this crap.
Yeah.
So that would make sense if that's the case.
The actress in the movie looked like young and hot. Like, she wouldn't look like this now. You know?
Yeah, exactly. I was just like, they can't be the same Silk Spectre, the young looking one that we saw in the movies.
Yeah.
I have.
But the movie was set, in the time period that the comic was set in,
which was like what, like, 85, 86?
Okay. Yeah. Something like that. And so in this one, you've had, like the election that happens, I guess, after the Dr. Manhattan thing, you know, Robert Redford gets elected. It's like he's been president for 30 years or something now.
My brother was just giving me some money for stuff, so I'm good.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Shoot.
So, do we have anything more on Watchmen, or?
No, that's kind of like the highlights of the episode. I mean, nothing really happened in this. It wasn't really like that stupid or whatever. And it was actually it was a shorter episode because it was like maybe like what 48 minutes, 50 minutes or so.
These YouTube video, well, not YouTube, but you know, like you put it on Google Drive, and so it was like embedded in like a YouTube player. So anyway, it said 56 minutes, but that included like the song at the end and the recap.
Right.
And the preview and all that stuff. So maybe if you remove all that, it's like 53 minutes or something. I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah. I guess for closing remarks, since we tend to talk about religion a lot these days, did you see the video of the people breaking into the Vatican and removing the pagan statues that the Pope had accepted from the Amazon tribes and throwing them into the river?
Yeah, I did see that. Did he accept those statues like recently?
Well, yeah, he brought these Amazon tribes and they
fertility statues.
Yes, they worship a woman called Pachi Mama. I was looking it up. And, like, I wasn't sure if these were, like, supposed to be, like, the Virgin Mary or something. But, yeah, Pachamama, P-A-C-H-A-M-A-M-A. And it says it's an Earth Time Mother from Incan mythology that's a fertility goddess.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, I know that the Pope is from South America, so maybe he has some sympathy for, like, the indigenous peoples there that have, like, a low life expectancy and standard of living and that kind of stuff, and like I get it, but like if you're supposedly representing like the Catholic Church, why are you allowing
Christianity
pagan altars into your church and allowing them to do a ceremony in the Vatican Gardens where they're worshiping these statues? And it's like, what is going on with this church? Like, it's not even a Christian church anymore. It's like worshiping pagan gods.
Well, you got the actual Catholics that are trying their best to stay true and basically just tell the Pope to go F off or something. Like, I think
at the comments on the Twitter posts about it from like Catholic magazines and stuff, even like left wing Catholic magazines, the responses are unanimously opposed to this. What's going on with the Vatican, and they were all saying like, oh, this is good that they did this. Like, have you ever read the Bible? It says you shall have no other gods but me and all this kind of stuff. Like, and don't like worship at altars of other gods. Like, this is like,
it's basic clearly stuff. Yeah. It's clearly written in the Bible. I actually got into it. Speaking of Bible stuff, I got into sharing my opinion on something that was online on Facebook, and that was a mistake on my end, but anyways, I'll get to that in a minute. It's one of those things where I just, like, I couldn't just let it slide, and I had to say something, and I feel like I did it respectfully, and I'm on people's shit list right now. But I couldn't care less. But
who did you upset?
Well, let's talk about this thing real quick. The pagan thing I thought was in there for, like, a long time, and then they finally did something about it. I didn't know this was something recent.
No, they didn't allow that for very long before, like, actual believing Catholics showed up and just were like, we're not having this here. Like, it was only there maybe a week or something.
Oh, okay.
But it's like, you're in the Vatican City, like, you're going to have, like, actual believing Catholics in there who are not going to put up with you, like, making a mockery of their religion.
Yeah.
Like, that's, if you're going to live in the Vatican City, like, you're going to be some kind of, like, you know, true believing, like, diehard Catholic, you would think, or something, but you know, it's instead been taken over by, like, these, I don't know, subversive elements that are trying to destroy the church from within by, like, worshipping other gods. I mean, it's, like, I don't think even, like, the worst popes from the Middle Ages did this kind of stuff, you know? Even the ones that, like, caused people to split off into other sects, like Lutheranism and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the worst the they Protestant did was, like, selling indulgences and that kind of stuff, and maybe that's not right. The best thing to do, but, like, they were not actually actively worshipping another god. Like, that's just, how does this even end up happening in the Catholic Church? Like, they're so PC, they can't say no ever to, like, POC, even if they say, like, worship our God that's not your God.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things that's like, if you were in the Catholic religion, or that, you know, I guess now it's like, it's been a cult, I guess, but it's just like, if you're in that, get out as soon as you can. Like, it's the Protestantism is the way to go, kids.
I saw this bizarre like interview with this traditionalist Catholic woman where she was talking about the Virgin Mary, and of all people, she said she was converted to Catholicism by Milo Yiannopoulos. And
what?
You know, she was, yeah, I'm not joking. Like, he's actually a Catholic, but she's called, I think, Rachel Fulton Brown, and she was going on and on about like the Virgin Mary, and the way she talked about it, it was like this Pachamama, like this fertility.
No, that's exactly how the Catholic Church is. They worship the Virgin Mary and put and exalt her higher, equal if not higher than Jesus Christ, and that is totally unbiblical and unscriptural.
Yeah, I'd never actually heard that stuff from Catholics before, but the way she was talking about it, it fit all the stereotypes of I've heard about Catholics worshiping the Virgin Mary. And she was going on and on about, like, she's, like, the mother of the universe, and she's, the source of all life, and, like, everything flows through her, and it was, like, this serious worship of the Virgin Mary, and it was, like, shocking for me to hear. But, I mean, I guess that correlates with this. Maybe the Pope thinks, like, Pachamama and the Virgin Mary are the same thing, you know, or something, or that he thinks he's converted them and, like, persuaded them to worship the Virgin Mary instead of Pachamama, or who knows? But it is strange. And I know that a lot of these bishops and cardinals and stuff are really upset about this, and they're trying to like remove the Pope and put somebody else in there because he keeps doing these interviews with this like atheist magazine and saying like Jesus is not divine and this sort of thing. And it's just like, how is this even being allowed to happen?
You want to hear my story?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is just a lesson regarding on Facebook. You think you have free speech, and you do, but sometimes because you have the freedom to say something and to speak the truth, doesn't always mean that people are going to agree with you. And my brother put it this way regarding that: it's like you come to a house and the wall you see a white wall. And somebody next to you says that wall is purple. And you're like, no, it's not purple. But then he gets all five of his friends over there to tell you that the wall is purple. So then it's basically whoever has the most numbers to agree in a large group is the one that's right. Even though, like, the truth is the wall is not purple. So now that that analogy is out of the way, there's a recent thing that came up about couple weeks ago. The best I understood, and I've sort of kept up with this the past few months, is that the Southern Baptist Convention is going through this whole tiff right now because you've got a mainstream televangelist female pastor named Beth Moore. She's written a dozen books, and there's a big discussion regarding how the Southern Baptist Convention has accepted female preachers. And
is this a recent development?
Yeah, well, this has been female preachers have been going on for a number of years, but this is where there's particularly a scripture in the Bible, 1 Timothy 2:12, 2:11, 2:12, that the Apostle Paul talks about how it's not right to have a woman pastor or a woman leading a church. It's scripturally right there. It's plain as day. It's black and white, and there's nothing else to like misinterpret about that scripture. It is not out of context in any way. And so there's this guy that I've. Anyways, to make a very long story short, it's another church in town that split off from a church I used to go to. In a way, it's sort of like a cult.
Was it over the woman preacher issue? Or
no, this church has been going on for a few years. This is over. Anyways, it's bullcrap drama garbage in the Christian church. That's all I'm going to say. But these are people I've known for many years since I've been in this town, and anyways, one of them, he's a cool guy. I'm not giving out any names, of course, but he went on this whole tirade because there was this recent conference a few weeks ago regarding a mainstream pastor that has been popular for many years called John MacArthur out of California. And he was doing a panel on this, or like at his church. And I think the moderator is a guy who does a YouTube channel called Wretched or something. I've watched a few of his things. He's really good. I like him. And he asked him a question regarding, you know, like, I'm going to say a word and you just tell me what you think. And he says, you know, Beth Moore. And MacArthur thought for a minute and he just says, go home. And he's one of those, like, he speaks his mind. He doesn't BS around. He'll step on toes. And I like guys like him because I know, like, Charles Stanley does the same thing, and I like Charles Stanley a lot. Because they're just straightforward. They're straight shooters. They don't bull crap around. It's like, here's the scripture. This is what it says. And it's as simple as, and easy to understand. So this guy basically, like, just, you know, he's angry at MacArthur about how he, like, basically, like, threw Beth Moore under the bus, how he's totally disrespectful. She's a sister in Christ, yada, yada. And I understand his anger. I can understand that. But, like, Beth Moore has said and done some things that is totally unbiblical. And not even just her being a you know, going against that 1 Timothy verse in the Bible, just from her being a female preacher, it's just other things. And it's kind of like, the way I look at it is that I've been seeing this as sort of a trend where, like, if you have a female pastor, they really say and do things that it contradicts biblical scripture. And if that's the case, then why the heck are they a pastor? And so anyways, he's ranting on Facebook about it. And what gets me is that people, this group, this church, they have a very, like, they're very closed-minded, and they're in their own bubble, and they're in their own, like, think group thing. They all circle jerk each other, basically, in a way. And, you know, he says all this stuff and, like, bashing this guy, and he puts up the audio so anybody can listen to it and have their opinion. And a lot of people went on there.
Was
just
he sexist or
what?
Was he calling him sexist for saying they shouldn't be women preachers? Or
no one. No one made a comment like that. They were just all really praising this guy for, like, oh, you're preaching. You're so, oh my gosh, you preach. You're just so good. You're so honest. You're so correct. Yes, yes. And that made me sick to my stomach. So all I did as a comment is, and I'll go ahead and read this out because. Anyways, hold on, give me just a sec.
So they were praising the guy who said that the woman should not be a preacher and should go home, or
no, it's the guy that was trashing on MacArthur on Facebook.
Okay, so they're praising someone else who was going against MacArthur. Okay.
Yeah, he does bring up some, like, scripture, like John 15:12, Ephesians 4:29-32, which is scriptures about encouragement or whatever, but it's like it's out of context regarding what. It's totally out of context of what kind of what 1 Timothy says. I get where this guy's coming from, and I got nothing against him on this, but, like, yeah, he's entitled to his opinion, but it's like once I saw this, just, like, you know, like, they don't see Beth Moore the way I did, and the only thing I really said was, like, you know, I thought 1 Timothy 2:12 is clear on what Paul says about female preachers. And I agree what was said in the video, since it just went beyond Beth Moore. And from there, this guy responds back and goes to this whole thing where it's like, oh, you know, we can agree, disagree regarding, you know, female preachers and what the Bible says, yada, yada. But, you know, he's dragged this, you know, her name in the mud, which a lot of people have done already for years. MacArthur ain't the first guy, and he won't be the last. And just kind of like this whole high horse thing. And so, like, he's got, like, you know, bone to pick with MacArthur. And I was like, okay, fine. And my thing was like, okay, yeah, you can throw the whole agree to disagree thing. But, you know, like, if you're being biblical, if you put the word of God above, like, world ideologies in terms of, like, you know, there's this whole thing going on. And I even mentioned how, like, you know, like, these churches now are starting to put in more humanism and feminism, which contradicts biblical scripture. And it's kind of like you're putting in things and trying to make it and basically, like, trying to build a church on these ideologies that contradict what scripture says. And if it does, then why are you making a church to begin with? And I'm just like, you know, there's really nothing to argue there. It's when it's written right there on what the Bible says about, you know, female pastors and people, females leading in church. And, you know, I just kind of said, you know, like, hey, you know, like, in the last half of the video, MacArthur really, like, went into detail on his stance on that, and I totally agree with it, like, fully, because this guy is sticking to what the Bible says, because that he's preaching from the Bible. That's how you're supposed to do it. And I was just kind of like, you know, like, look, you know, if you know these you let these churches do this, and not, you know, preach correctly from what the Bible says, then, like, they're no different than, you know, how the world, you know, how non-Christians are, and then you can't tell the difference between the two because you've intermixed it so much. And I'm just, and so my thing was like, you know, I kind of summed this up, and I was just like, you know, look, what she's doing, she does violate this verse. It's clearly right there. Like, she's being unbiblical about it. And it's just, it's stupid that you guys are just, you know, like, elevate her higher than I think Jesus Christ is the way, it's like she's an idol. And I'm just like, look, if I hurt anyone, if I'm a butthole, I'll take it. You know, like, I'm just being real with you guys. And that was my opinion. And then I had another guy that showed up, which I refused to get into any discourse because he likes to be right about everything. And he's just a major a-hole. And he's just talking about like, oh, you know, if you want to be a traditionalist, complementary and model of ecclesiology, he tries to talk big. He thinks he's
complementarian. Is that a word?
Complementarian is basically people that do, they agree and, you know, and are follow the scripture exactly what it says. And if that's okay. The label that I have, that's perfectly fine because that's how you're supposed to, that's what the scripture's there for.
I'm used to the term fundamentalist or something like that being used against someone. Yeah,
I think it's made as an insult, which is just baffles my mind because it's like if you're a Christian, you have the Bible, you follow it. Muslims follow the Quran. Buddhists follow whatever. They don't deviate. You know, Mormons have the Book of Mormon. They read. That's their guide. They don't use aestheticism to take things out of context to fit worldly views into it, therefore making it unbiblical. And yeah. He wants to preach at me. He wants to be preaching to me about how, like, I'm wrong and how I'm reading the scripture. And he's just like, you can't take it at face value. And I'm like, yes, you can, because it's right freaking there. Like, God made everything in the Bible as simple as possible to follow. And it's just interesting how he goes in this whole thing. And I got some other lady that's just like, I can't understand what the heck she's talking about. And her thing was just like, I kind of feel bad for her, but then it's kind of like, it's just a mess. But my thing is just kind of like, you know, here I am. I source scripture, you know, to say like, well, this contradicts, Beth Moore is contradicting this scripture, which if you follow the Bible, she should be doing this. And it's clear as day. And there's other things in the Bible that will back that up as well regarding gender roles in the church, which apparently that is to humanism. That is and to political correctness. That is a giant offense to them. And, you know, it's just interesting how I'm getting preached to by a guy who is the most ignorant mother effer that I know. He's talking out of both ends of his mouth regarding like, well, you know, if you want to believe that way, it's fine. But then it's like, it's so offensive if you read the Bible that way. You're supposed to read it this way. He's hypocritical in the same sentence. It's amazing.
So he has like some other verses that this other pastor had mentioned in the response, but the other verses actually mention women as preachers, or
yes, 1 Timothy 2:12 clearly states that like it is not, women should not lead the church, or have there's a thing about women being silent in the church, and I think I was like, you know, not to sound like my own opinion on this, but like it's not like women come into church and don't say anything the entire time. That's stupid. But it's a matter of, like, you know, male headship is there for a reason because males are in the image of God and women are made in the image of man. That is also biblical. And the Bible is very clear regarding how the sexes are not equal at all. And that totally spits in the face of feminism and humanism. But since I am such a traditionalist, complementarianism, whatever the hell, then yes, that's what I believe. But I'm not putting women down at all because there was a specific way of why I was designed as a guy from God. The same way why God made women. And, you know, if you don't believe that and you're a Christian, then you're not following Christianity. And, you know, it's one thing for people that are non-Christians to say, like, well, I totally disagree with that. And it's like, okay, fine. I get that because, you know, you couldn't care less about the Bible. And, yeah, that would be offensive to you. I'm not worried about you. I'm worried about people who say they claim the Bible, but they like the parts about it they want. And they don't preach or want to talk about or overlook anything else about it, which is completely unscriptural and unbiblical right there. And it's just, yeah. It profounds me that churches are founded on that principle. It's this new age thing where it's about emotions and feelings, because a lot of these comments, even with me challenging what this guy wrote regarding how he's, you know, defending Beth Moore or whatever, I was just like, I'm the one bringing up scripture, and I'm like, you know, don't you guys see this? And it's about how they feel, but how they feel contradicts what scripture says. So Yeah, that is my rant right there. So that has been my past couple, like, day, actually. And the moral of the story is, don't argue with anyone on Facebook, especially if you know the people that huddle around each other and they're in that bubble and they don't like it when you try to disrupt that with a different, not just opinion, but when you call out their BS in a biblical sense. Because, like, as a Christian, you're supposed to live and die by the Bible. That is how it should be. There's nothing up for, because if you don't, then how are you a follower of Christ? And it doesn't mean that you have to agree with, like, yeah, I look at it this way, like, yeah, people have a hard time agreeing with a lot of things in the Bible, but it's a matter of letting God speak to you through his scripture that you can understand it and be able to study it better. So then, like, yes, it's your own view, but it's like, if you read the scripture, it's like God speaking to you regarding, like, you know, the best way you can interpret it, because God's going to speak to you in a way that you can understand it. But it's not going to contradict any other part of the scripture, like other scriptures either, that back up that certain particular scripture. So, if that makes any sense.
So what is the argument for allowing these women to be preachers? Do they say, like, oh, well, maybe in the Old Testament God forbids, you know, like, women from becoming rabbis, but Jesus nullified some of the old regulations?
Or no, Jesus never said...
the New Testament, too.
Yeah, Jesus never said anything like that. I mean, like, New Testament will quote Old Testament scripture to back up, to show that it's still relevant. A lot of the stuff from Mosaic Law is, we can agree that is still in effect regarding, like, what people think of murder, that it is wrong. I mean, the Ten Commandments come from Mosaic era, and, you know, that's kind of like the basic foundation of, like, a moral code for a lot of civilized cultures is the Ten Commandments. Even if you're a PragerU and you try to post that stuff up on YouTube and YouTube bans half your Ten Commandments videos or calls it inappropriate or whatever, it's funny. So, you know, just...
Right, and Facebook as well. I mean, they probably will crack down on your comments before too long, because they're at one point they were banning PragerU videos on there.
Yeah. First Timothy. All right, so I will read out exactly what First Timothy. Oh man, come on!
Oh, you found the verse where it...
Well, you can. Yeah, you can find it. It's just a... Okay, here, I got it. I got it. It's a matter of just pulling up the verse itself. I don't need... Yeah, let me just go.
So this is the verse that is it McCarthy, the name of the preacher that mentioned this on TV?
The what?
Well, what was the name of the pastor that...
Oh, MacArthur. Yeah, this is like fundamental stuff, because there was a thing regarding it was a female blogger named, like, the Transform Wife. She mentioned this thing about, like, a lot of Christians like to read what Jesus says, but then they totally throw away what Paul says. And there's a particular scripture and verse regarding that, anything that it says, that anything written in the Bible is all of God's word, because God uses men to speak what he has to say, and to be able to relate that from what was said in the Old Testament into the New Testament when it's, you know, sourced and translated, you know, adapted correctly regarding what it means, because it's still, if it's referenced, it's still relevant. So it's like anything that really is, you know, regarding any book of the Bible that man has said about God is God's law, basically, based on this verse. And I can't think of what it is right now. But just really the two verses that are... Okay, so, like, really the two verses relating to this is, like, okay, so... 1 Timothy 2:11, a woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. But this is really in the context of, like, the church, because this is talking about instructions on worship, and that's in 1 Timothy 2. This is, like, all these rules about it. But this is Paul writing these letters to these churches about this stuff. But it's relevant regarding, you know, how it still should be there today, because it's kind of like, if you don't believe what's written in the Bible, then how can you really call yourself a Christian? Yeah, you can struggle with it, but it's understanding why God has that in there, and how, you know, what's not just your, not just interpret it in your own way, but how he wants you to or the Lord wants you to interpret it. So, and it's written right there. So it's kind of like a lot of churches want to just pass that over, like, you know, it's nothing. And it's just interesting, because it's not just, you know, MacArthur that's saying that, you know, like, it's not just Beth Moore or any other churches that's, you know, the ones that I know that are like, oh, it's only a handful are doing this. It's a lot of them have been doing this, because I wish this is stuff I never even heard of when I was growing up in church, and that's been 20, 25 years, and that ought to tell you something. So it's been going on a very long time,
yeah,
and it's led with secularism into church.
Maybe if you're looking at like a Unitarian church in San Francisco or something, you might see like a female preacher. But I wouldn't have thought that this would be something that would be done by like big megachurch televangelists or in like southern churches or that sort of thing. That's kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, it's the trend. Yeah, I'm just, and all I did was just source scripture to these people that they say that they're Christians. And it's like, you know, if you actually understood and you know, the word means something to you, and it should, all of it, then there should have been no kind of like, I shouldn't have this kind of discourse, but it proves to me like who these people really stand. And it's just kind of, it was just interesting, but for me it's just like, yeah, and you know, it's just like I just need to ignore these people. And but because I've said my opinion, and I'm hopefully maybe I said it, maybe someone read it and it's just like, yeah, you know, like why can't we talk about it? Like, you know, all verses, it's God's word. So like, why are you guys just not? I'm hoping someone can see their BS is what I'm. Anyways, I poked the stick in a hornet's nest, and yeah, that's on me. So I'm not even like, I don't even have an excuse. Like, I know exactly what I did.
So this is like not a, like your church's group. It's like another local church group that you posted on Facebook. Like,
no, it's someone's that I follow on Facebook that I've known for years.
Uh-huh.
It's just the type of people that they are, and yeah, I will pray for them, and I wish them the best, and that's all I can say. But yeah, it's just kind of like, you know if. Fine, I burned the bridge with them, but it's kind of like, it's not like there was really, it was kind of like we were on good mutual terms, because they weren't really my friends, because I don't ever hang out with them or anything. We're just kind of like acquaintances. And, you know, if they want to, you know, it's one thing to disagree with me, but I guess for them it's like, I feel like I probably touched a nerve, and so be it, because I'm just being honest with them as one believer to another, and if they don't like, then I'm being honest with them. And they don't like what scripture says, then that is on them. And they can hate my guts for it. But, yeah.
Anyway. It does seem like there's sort of a contradiction when a church suddenly just changes its position because of what is politically advantageous for them.
There,
you know.
Yeah, political correctness has been creeping into churches for many years. And it's all about trying to make people comfortable and happy and then actually speaking the truth, you know, instead of, you know, condoning sin and other things. And it's going to come to a point where, you know, now it's coming to that point now where it's like, you know, you're going to have people that are confessed homosexuals that are going to be preaching the church. It's like, whoa, wait, you know, it's one thing for you to struggle with homosexuality, but to actually like live in a sinful life and then say that you're a Christian is a total, it's spitting in the face of God because he condemns that. And there's no way you can justify your sin, but people are going to try and they're going to say you're a hateful person. You know, you're evil because, you know, that's not political correct. That's not politically correct.
Well, I did see just a few weeks ago that the Mormon Church is now allowing homosexuals to be priests, which was surprising to me because
it is.
In the past, the Mormon Church has been considered, like, very conservative, and so I was surprised that they would allow that.
Well, they're supposed to follow the Bible and also have their book, too, so but they rather do their own book than... I compare Mormonism and Christianity as like, okay, let's say like, you know, I'm going to play D&D and everyone is bringing their guidebooks to D&D, the same edition, you know, cause in order to play the game correctly in that rule set is you have to have the right edition, the right information. So everyone sees the same thing and everyone can agree on the same rules. And you can do the game right. It's like going to that, and then the guy that's heading up, or you know, someone brings along like their D&D book, but then also bring along like Shadowrun version 2 or something. And Shadowrun, granted, they're all tabletop games. It's a tabletop game, but you have a different tabletop game that you're trying to work into the rules and a different system into Dungeons and Dragons. And they're like, whoa, buddy, you like that book's okay, but not Shadowrun because that's not going to work with this. And they're going to try to fight you with that. It's like, well, no, it's the same thing. And it's like, no, it's not. And that's the way I look at the Book of Mormon. So, and I'm probably pissing off a lot of Mormons by saying that, but I'm being real.
Yeah. I mean, I always grew up in very, like, Mormon areas of Arizona, and so I definitely like Mormons. They've always been very nice to me.
No, I got no issue with Mormons either, but it's just kind of like...
And I think that, like, on some level, their church and their communities are the most successful in this country. I mean, if you look at Utah, that's a state with, like, a very strong economy, strong family unit. Yeah. They have the lowest average age of any state in the country because the people there have so many children. And so I think that that Mormonism is, like, useful for the survival of our country, mm-hmm. and especially in the Southwest. And it's helped to develop this area that was, like, this completely, like, uninhabitable wilderness with, like, these extreme deserts and mountains and everything. So I'm, like, very impressed by them as a community. But then when I read about their actual book, it's, like, this weird stuff with, like, the planet Kolob, where God and Jesus and Satan all came from, and they were brothers.
And how Joseph Smith was, he was a prophet, la, 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 la.
But yeah, I was just never able to believe in any of that. But the Mormon neighbors in the cul-de-sac I grew up in were always the nicest of all the neighbors. They would come over and bring us food and stuff. They'd just show up with some, like, homemade cinnamon rolls every now and then or something and give to us. And
it's interesting go ahead.
I had this big, like, 3-story house, and there were, like, 10 children in there. And they were all, like, the most well-behaved children and everything. And it's, like, their church does promote, like, very strong, good, like, family values.
Yeah.
But they do it using these strange stories.
I don't know. It's interesting to me that, like, and I wish the Christian church would wake up about this. And granted, I'm guilty in some aspects on this, too. But I feel like other religions treat people better than Christians do. Because and it's a matter of, like, it seems like, you know, people that, like, do charity work and are Christians, it's kind of like some of them will do it. It depends on where their heart is. I understand that they do these charity events or reach out to neighborhoods, but it's more like about promoting themselves than actually helping people. And I feel like I get more people that actually I have more friends and acquaintances that are non-Christians than I do Christians, and they treat me just as good as I treat them. And that tells me something about the church. It's not Christianity itself. It's the church culture. And that's like, I've gotten to the point in my life where it's just like, I'm just sick and tired of that BS. And, like, you know, I'm sick and tired of people, like, you know, you say you do this and you're hypocritical, but when someone tries to call you out on it, you shame them for that. Even though they are totally in the right regarding them having the Bible that they totally believe in and stand on, that's supposed to be your foundation, but you don't want to accept it because it doesn't go against your mindset and theology on how you think the Bible should work for you, and how, instead of how you should work around God's word, and how you need to change your mindset to understand how God is trying to say things to you and for you to understand that, and to his, and for his word. And it's just like, I feel like it's probably always been around me, and I've just been, like, blind to it, or I didn't want to accept it. And now it's just kind of like, the older I get, it's the more just like, I don't give two shits anymore. That is how I feel.
Yeah, well, I feel like this trend is just going to continue because people
it's are getting worse.
Selfish, and they kind of go along to get along, and so they know, like, they're not going to get status points by standing up to anything that's, like, trendy, and so. If this is what's being promoted, like, it's going to be all about, like, LGBT and women being pastors now, like, people are going to be like, well, I can't stand up to this, or I'm going to be deemed, like, a bigot, and I'm going to get banned from social media, and everybody is going to hate me, and so I'm just going to just say that I believe in it, even if it doesn't go along with, like, what was traditionally believed by people who interpreted the Bible in a way that it was, like, clearly written, because it was not like there was, like, a big LGBT feminist movement in the year, like, 60 AD or something, you know, like, that's just not the case. So, like, the idea that you're going to read it in that way is kind of bizarre, but people are going to try to say, well, look, it was so ahead of its time, and it predicted the transgender rights issue or something, and they'll find some way to misread some verse.
And it baffles me that, like, there's people out there that are going to accept that, and they're Christians, and it's just like, no, like, you're not getting it. Like, look, oh, God, it's like, ah, fuck! Like, no, damn it! And, yeah, it's I can understand completely why people don't want to join the church. And, you know, I feel like it's like, look, I'm going to do what God has called me to do, and I'm going to try to do the best I can. And, you know, it's like, no, I'm not trying to make enemies with people, but, you know, if people don't like what, you know, I got to be real too. And I am going to be real and, you know, preach the gospel exactly what the verses say and how God says it, because it's crystal freaking clear. And, you know, it's up to them if they want to accept it or not. And, you know, I saw that firsthand when I was in animation with the street preacher, and like this girl that was, you know, saying that he was wrong because, you know, he was basically telling this girl who she claimed she was a lesbian Christian. And he's just like, how can you tell me that you're following after God when you're clearly living in a sinful life? And she like would not accept it. And she's like calling him bigoted and all this stuff. And he's like, I have the scripture right in front of me. It's right freaking there. Like, repent of your sin. And yeah, she didn't want to hear it because it didn't go against what she believed and what made her happy.
Yeah. I mean, it is a very selfish thing. Yes. If you're going to say you believe in something, and then you go against it whenever it's like, well, you know, it feels kind of good to have like another woman eat my pussy or something. So I'm just going to like ignore this part of the verse. So I'm just going to do what is carnally pleasurable to me.
Yes. It's a hedonistic lifestyle. And yeah. And it's honestly, it's like, you know, I don't give a damn if people are offended by that. I'm just being real. And I'm not talking about offending off, like, you know, the non-Christians, because I know they would be. And I'm talking about the people that say they're Christians. Those are the ones I'm concerned about, because they're supposed to be my brother and sisters in Christ. And then he's like, hey, what you just said and what you're agreeing to is totally wrong, and I'm trying to show you that. And they don't want to hear it, and it's just like, okay. All right. You know. Oh, man.
Yeah, and to bring back in the Catholic issue, the Pope, there was some gay person who was coming up to him and saying something like, you know, I struggle with reconciling the church teachings on homosexuality with how I feel, because when I was young, I was molested by a gay priest, and then I became a homosexual, or it made me realize it, because a lot of the time people won't straight up admit that the reason they're gay is because they had like a mm-hmm. homosexual rape them as a child. Mm-hmm. They'll instead feel like, oh, well, they were helping me to discover who I was or something like that, because they kind of get a sort of Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
And really buy into it. And certainly that's what happened with Milo Yiannopoulos, mm-hmm. Where he talks about how the preachers get time to give head or something. And so it's like, yeah. And then he's, you know, he got banned from CPAC over this and everything. But yeah. And then the Pope's response to this was something like, well, this was the way God wanted it, and he made you this way, and so I don't know.
Yeah, that's bullcrap, too.
And so that was kind of like, well, if God wants it that way, then why did the Bible not have like pro-LGBT verses in it where he's praising this sort of behavior and said it's condemned? Like, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up.
Yeah.
Like, because everybody throughout all time always interpreted these verses the way they're claimly written, you know? It's like the people who try to interpret the Second Amendment now, they say, well, it only really means that the military can have weapons or something. Well, no, everybody always thought that it meant private gun owners.
It doesn't say, they're claiming things that are not written in there. It was like, it doesn't say not to own weapons. I mean, yeah, or, you know, it's not for the military.
They're just trying to do, like, misread stuff and on purpose just to, yeah, they to want pervert things within themselves.
Yes.
and cause you to doubt yourself, even if you're like ostensibly in favor of the Christian church or of the Constitution or whatever, you'll end up with somebody like Obama, who was like a constitutional law professor, and then he like shreds the Constitution when he's in office. Like, that's like how things are now. Like, everything that you think is supposed to be promoting one thing is actually destroying it from within itself. And it's like our society is rotting, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting how people want to say, like, oh, you know, my God-given human rights. That is, and I challenge that, too, because, like, there really are no human rights. Human rights are made by humans to make themselves feel better. Let's be real. Like, you know, people think, like, human rights, like, oh, there's no suffering that's ever going to happen to me. It's like, did you guys ever read the Bible, especially, like, the book of Job, where God allowed Job to suffer just to prove a point? that he is faithful to him, because that's what God does. But in the end, because of Job's faithfulness, Job got blessed greater than what he had before. Because that God tests us. He does that all the time. Because it's a matter of making us better and growing in our faith. And we're always going through stuff. That's just life. And it shows how mature a person is when, like, they whine and cry and don't get their way when things are going bad with them, instead of actually, like, going through the hard times and trusting God through that. So, you know, like, I'm going through some stuff. I've been going through this stuff for a few years. But, like, I have to trust God in that. So, and I'm not mad at him, because I know, like, I believe he's going to come through with me, and he will. So, you know, it's kind of like when people don't get their way, it's kind of like, you know, children are like a toddler. Like, if you keep giving into them, they're going to grow up spoiled. And when you have to, like, take things away from them to, like, you know, basically for them to get over their discomfort and, you know, for them to actually grow up and get over themselves, and that's how they mature.
But that didn't happen to a whole generation of people, which was the baby boomers, and then they didn't pass that on to their descendants.
No,
which is
not.
The millennials. And so it keeps going like that, where people are just, like, not given any sort of negative reinforcement when they do something that's self-destructive.
Yeah.
Because they don't understand the world. And then you end up with people doing things like, well, I just feel like I'm not a man, and so I'm just going to have this surgery that will remove my genitalia at, like, age 5 or something. I mean, this is happening in fucking Texas right now, that this guy is like a 7-year-old, and his fucking mother thinks that because he enjoyed watching Frozen, that he needs to become a woman. And it's like, what the fuck is going on in this country where this is being allowed in this, like, supposedly Bible Belt state where everybody believes in God, but, oh, well, if the child thinks he's a woman because the mother is trying to make him into a woman, and she's some sort of, like, developmental psychologist for children, like, this is her job at some
fucking
public institution to, like, persuade people to become transgendered, and then if your fucking father goes against it, they remove custody from him, they don't allow you to see him because he's a wrong thinker, and this is, like, this is what's happening. The family unit is being destroyed by political correctness, and nobody can stand up against it in any capacity. It's like, what the fuck is going to happen to this country if this is allowed, you know?
I mean, you have
Ben Shapiro saying he's going to, like, take up guns if they try to do this to his children. Like, this is this, like, milquetoast, like, guy that's, like, this kind of nerdy, like, high verbal IQ guy that's, like, you would think that he'd be the last person to bring up this sort of prospect, but, you know, him and then this guy like Matt Walsh that works for him was saying something similar over this case, and it's, I think that Ben Shapiro was not over this case, it was over Beto saying that if you won't perform a same-sex marriage in a Christian church, that you're going to have your tax exemption status removed, and the federal government is going to come after you and take all your money, and it's like, this is like a fucking tyranny that these people want us to live under. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're getting angry there, but, like...
No, let it out, man.
but I mean, you saw what was going on at the LGBT town hall. Like, they had, like, these, like, insane things that Beto was saying. And it's like, he's talking about taking away people's guns and their religion. And he almost won in the state of Texas a couple of years ago in the Senate election. Like, it was really close to him versus Ted Cruz. That's, like, this is one of the most conservative states in the country, and that almost happened here.
Yeah, I would just say, get the hell out of America. I'm not at that point yet, but it's just like, you know, how much more crap are we gonna take before we have to just say enough is enough? And, you know, if people are fine with that, then, you know, they can stay here, and that's up to them. Man, it kind of makes me. Well, I was about to say, man, I want to move to Canada, but it's like, wait a second, I might dodge in the draft. A. And B, no, that's even worse.
Right, they just reelected Trudeau, and he's like, I mean, at least in America, there is somebody who's standing up to all this stuff, and it's President Trump. And unfortunately, a lot of the time, all he does is tweet about it.
Trudeau got caught with blackface to end his career, and it didn't work. What the crap?
There were like 3 photos of him in blackface or something. Kept surfacing.
In a video, I think.
Harm him at all. Yes, there is a video.
Yeah, and he still got elected, barely.
He like stuffed his crotch to make himself look like he had like a big black dick, and he had like black hands and everything. He like, went all out. He didn't just do the face. Like he had a wig and everything. Yeah, I was shocked that he survived that. But if you're a Democrat, you can just survive that. And same, like you saw this with the governor of Virginia, and then the same with Liberal Party. Because the media will just say, well, he's not a racist, though, so because he's on the left, so that means he's a good guy. So he was just a prank in college, and he's moved on, he's grown. But then you look at him now, and, like, every time he's in a photo op, he's, like, visiting some, like, Buddhist temple, and he's, like, wearing robes, and, like, he's in, like, a Muslim, like, mosque, and he's got like a turban on or something, or he's in like a Sikh temple and he's got a dagger, you know, like he's like constantly like cosplaying as other groups, and like I guess you can just do that in Canada, but people make fun of him for it a lot, like in the US on Twitter, really.
Yeah,
but yeah, he's like still doing this kind of stuff like all the time, so and I would think that it's kind of like weird and insulting, but maybe it's only an American thing to be upset about so-called cultural appropriation. Like, maybe in Canada, they think it's, like, respectful. Like, he's just going by the customs of the people he's going to meet or something. I don't know. Because, like, America, we have this sort of weird multiculturalism where, like, you're going to have, like, extreme diversity, but you're also going to pretend that everybody's exactly the same and that people don't have different customs. And you're going to, like, pretend that, like, Islam is not bad for the LGBT or something, or bad for women or whatever, like, you're going to pretend that this is, like, a progressive religion of peace or something.
Yeah.
Which it's, like, absurd interpretation of it. You just look at, like, any Muslim country, but you have to believe in things that are just not true because of political correctness. And so, like, people can't speak openly or honestly about any country. And it's, like, I don't know. I guess Canada is a lot like that, too. But, you know, they're slightly different, I guess, as well. I don't know. But I mean, I'm sure that a lot of these religious issues we're bringing up are probably just the same thing that's happening in Canada and all over the world, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think if you probably look at, like, religious institutions in Europe, probably a lot of them are the same as, like, religious institutions in the U.S. in terms of the direction they're moving, you know?
I mean, maybe I'm ready to go Russian Orthodox, because they are... I mean, like, that's like hardcore Bible believing. Like, they're like, it's still Levitican. Women can never wear pants. Nothing, no shellfish can live in Arctic Russia, so we don't have to worry about eating that. Like,
they're serious.
Oh, they're dead serious. I think there was a video where, like, some girl was just like, "What, your husband beats you?" He was like, "Yeah, when I act up." She's like, "I don't act up because I don't have to get hit." And he's just like, "Yeah, I just got to keep her in line, you know?"
Yeah.
And they're honest about it. They just don't care. you're like worse than shit if you do that to your wife here in America. So
yeah, there's this infamous video of this homosexual neoconservative from National Review, Jamie Kirchick, that was on like Russia Today, and he starts like badgering the host about this Russian law that I think they don't allow homosexuals to adopt children, and then also they have one that bans homosexual and transgender propaganda from being shown to children. Like, they don't allow like the rainbow curriculum from California in their schools and stuff, where they like try to teach the children like what LGBTQA+ means, and like here's what you
I think you forgot the I in that, but whatever. Assignment.
Well, yeah, I did leave out the I, but that was a reference to Watchmen, because they used that acronym and they left out the I.
Yeah, what was it? They have, like, the new, like, a new American hero thing, and it was, like, they have a TV rating of X. Like, that's, like, the next step above MA. And they had, like, they spent, like, 5 minutes on trigger warnings to, like, warning, this program contains yada, 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 and it's just, like, you see, like, people doing stuff as they're still talking about how it's going to trigger everyone. Like, we're just letting you know, so on with the show.
Yeah. They had the TVXLSV, I think was what it said on the screen.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Which, it was like their equivalent of MALSV, but then they have like a long description like you would see before Toonami.
Yeah.
It's like, viewer discretion is advised. But instead of saying...
It went on for 5 minutes. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, instead of having an epilepsy warning after that, instead they were like, this contains things that a child should never see. And that means anti-LGBTQA plus sentiment. So that's what the view is in America, is that if a child hears something that is not LGBTQA plus, that is child abuse, instead of the opposite view, which is what they have in Russia.
Oh, man.
And then they mentioned like several other things like racism, sexism, anti-Semitism, and all these other things that were mentioned as well. But then the actual thing that was shown after that was like some superhero just like punching people, which is like, that's traditionally what you would think like a superhero show is, and there was nothing like racist, sexist, or anything about
it. It was a white dude in a red hood with a noose around his neck, busting through a window, beating up other white dudes about to rob a joint, and that dude went crazy.
Yeah.
Full up ball on those mugs.
But the message of the scene here is like just basic, like traditional American media is evil. We have to deconstruct it and like demonize it. And so like all of the simple old fashioned superhero stuff you read about how you shouldn't rob people, you shouldn't take their stuff, you shouldn't kill people. Mm-hmm. This is now, this sort of traditional morality is now evil, and instead everything has to be based around, well, what is pro LGBTQA plus, and that's the new morality, is just based around like ever expanding this acronym, which is supposed to be like the center of our universe now, is like memorizing the new genders and the new sexual identities and making sure that they have reparations, which was brought up by Elizabeth Warren. She's like, we have to give tens of millions of dollars to the LGBTQA plus over the issue of they weren't able to get marriage licenses before a certain year, so we have to give them money for like what taxes they had to pay extra for filing as individuals. And it's like, but this is the same woman that simultaneously wants to take 2% of everyone's wealth. Like, she has a wealth tax that's just, it's not even income tax. She's just going to take money out of your bank account. And so, like,
well, you would have
she's
going to
simultaneously be taking from you and giving to LGBTQA. That's the whole point of it.
Okay, wait. You would have to meet a criteria to get the wealth tax, right?
I don't know what the number is, but it's only going to be, like, you know, 200,000 and up or whatever. I don't know. That's the number they usually bring.
But, so 2% is what, $2,000 if you're making 200,000 above? If you're making right at 200,000 and they take 2% out, that's just $2,000. So you're really
I keep all my money in cash. I don't trust the banks. I don't trust. I'm a very paranoid guy. But, you know, this could happen.
This is you talking, right?
Yes. Just personally, I have a large envelope of cash. But that's just me.
Do you store it in the Shogun Warriors like piggy bank thing that you've converted from, like, so like, do you have like whatever robot, or not Godzilla, but like Raiden, that's got like a little coin slot in it, and you just like shove all your money in the Raiden's head or something?
Well, I have I shouldn't mention the specific location, but I have a
you don't mention anything. I don't want to take your money. I don't want anybody else to take your money.
Right, but people don't know where I live, whatever. I have a castle, like a large castle, and I have it inside of the trapdoor in the castle.
Is this a castle, Grayskull? Is that where you keep your money? Your Skeletor is the most trusted banker you can trust. Skeletor is a more trusted financial advisor than the actual like Bank of America. That is something. I will increase your. I will increase your income, putting it in my savings.
The Bank of Eternia. Yeah.
I don't blame you on that. I will say this: like my bank, I did a college thing, and I used my like a student email or whatever. But like because I was like, oh, I'm a college student, and they're like, we'll give you $5 a month for iTunes credits, and if you buy anything off iTunes, we will refund that back to you. And I'm like, okay. And I rarely get anything on iTunes anyway. It's like it comes once a month on a bank statement. So, and like I use like PayPal or whatever. I want to use the PayPal like bank card system, but the interest rate is like 20 or 25 freaking percent. And I'm like, No! That's stupid. Like, APR is 20 or 25%. I'm like, no! That's stupid. Like, all these card companies want so much for, like, their for APR or interest or something. It's like, look, I understand you gotta make money, but if it was, like, you know, 4%, then okay, fine, just to help my credit a little bit, but not 20 freaking percent that I have to pay. Wait, on so top of just paying for, like, $5 worth of gas or something.
Aren't you supposed to accumulate interest for putting this stuff in their savings account? Like, I thought that that was the incentive to use a bank.
No, that's the bank itself, but I'm talking about, like, debt, like, credit cards or whatever. Credit card companies, like, I mean, PayPal's got, like, a, or, like, Amazon seems to be the only one that, like, I'm not going to say who uses this, but it's a good friend of mine in his business, where he uses, like, the Amazon credit card to basically accumulate points. And he uses that to buy crap for himself because he just doesn't care.
Okay.
So, like, all the major business expenses are on this Amazon card because you get, like the more you put into it, the more points you get towards buying stuff off Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so, like, that's kind of, like, sort of, like, a good thing. But, like, you know, if I had my own business that I was making, you know, millions of dollars and, like, oh, yeah, you know, we could just use the Amazon card and buy whatever and that's just accrued interest and a point system off Amazon for me to just buy crap that I want. And, you know, because it's my company or whatever. I have a credit score because I'm paying off student loans. And I'd rather just keep that, to be honest.
Yeah.
So,
well, I was very fortunate to not have to pay any student loans. So, because I went to Arizona State University, which is not exactly the most prestigious university, they actually paid me to go there, and so I would just cash the checks that they would send me in the mail.
Yeah.
Electronic books.
Well, there you go. Like, well, shoot, I've used mine on other stuff too, but like, yeah, for you, like, it's a state school, so, like, the state's going to pay more into it. And, like, if you have a state school that, like, is really good on education, like, I guess Arizona, like, they paid you enough. And,
right. You know, well, like, my GPA was very high, so they wanted to lure me there, so they offered me a bunch of money.
Yeah, well, like, you get the grants and stuff. So then, of course, like, the more grants you get, like, if you meet that, like, you know, if you're above a 3.0, you get, like, you're just basically making money as you're getting good grades, in a sense.
Right. So, I mean, that's right. So I wanted to go there anyway. The best hospital is there, Mayo Clinic, and that was very helpful for me to, you know, survive Crohn's disease during that period. And I just love the area. It's like where I grew up. I feel like a connection to that that city and everything. So that was very much to my advantage to do all that. And I probably should have gotten, you know, a bank account or whatever for that. I don't have one. Well, if I buy something online, I use my parents, and then I pay them cash.
I've had a bank account since I was like 17 or 18. I used to be part of SunTrust for a number of years, and then I moved over to like a local bank that serves this area pretty well that I'm in. And I've been using them for like 6 or 7 years by now because SunTrust moved out of town because they only deal like in major cities. And it was like, you know, I had my son, you know, I used my SunTrust account for like, you know, about, you know, 7-8 years or something. And I was just like, you know, this is like the only thing I've ever known. And then it's like, you know, we're not going to be here. And if you have to go to the bank to cash something, you have to drive like about an hour to the nearest town. I'm like, I'll just take whatever I have in my account and go to another bank. So that's what I've been using for about the same amount of time. And so it's worked for me. And, like, my brother has, like, a savings account, so, like, he puts some money in there, and it has accrued interest over time. I think it's, like, maybe a 3 or 4% interest thing. I'm not really sure, but, like, I don't have a savings account because I am not good with money. So, I mean, the only thing I've really invested in, like, that's sort of long-term is, like, the Robinhood stock markets and stuff, which, you know, I haven't even checked my stocks in, like, over a week. And that is the only thing I've got invested in. I did crypto for a while, but crypto is so inconsistent. And I just withdrew everything out of there.
That's a good idea. It's very bad.
Well, here's the best way I realized how crypto worked. When a U.S. economy is crap, crypto goes up. Mm-hmm. But when the economy is doing good and like oil prices are doing really good, crypto goes down. So, like, if you want America to fall and you want to, and you're investing in crypto, then like that's the way to go. And I've actually lost money.
I know that President Trump hates crypto. He like sent out some tweets about it a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
where he was like saying, you know, I don't know if he was like invoking legal tender laws and saying like it's not a legitimate currency, you can't trade it for anything, or what exactly his argument was.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, you fundamentally can't buy anything with it. You can't pay for a pizza with a Bitcoin, right? And if people have tried to do this kind of thing, like there's this guy Chinese restaurant, honestly. Yeah. And he tried to give them like a code, and he was like, "You can withdraw X number of Bitcoins from my Bit wallet with this." And they're like, "What the fuck are you talking about? We take U.S. dollars."
Man, get the fuck out of my store. Yeah, so like September 23, I'm looking at the 3-month period for Nintendo, and it was like $49.40 for the highest Nintendo stock has been, and now it's down to like $42, really close to 43. So.
But Nintendo stock is done. A Nintendo video game instead of buying that stock.
Roughly, but like their stock went up once they were like, "Hey, we're going to tap into the Chinese market." So that kind of like really helped them out. I didn't know
that they were entering the Chinese market, or that they had not already done so.
They are planning on it, or have already started it, I believe. So.
Well, we've talked about China before, but I really feel like all these companies making inroads there are going to become slaves to the Chinese government. And we can see this now with the NBA, where they'll criticize Donald Trump all day long, but they won't say anything about the treatment of Muslims in China, where they have them in re-education camps. But they'll say, "Oh, it's so horrible that Donald Trump slightly restricted travel for a handful of Muslim countries or whatever," and that this is the worst thing in the world compared with putting Muslims in a concentration camp. Which, oh, it's fine because they're communists; they're doing it to make them new socialist men, and so it's all good because they'll be taught about humanitarianism and how wonderful the communist system is. And, you know, it's not like this system has killed hundreds of millions of people in the last century or anything. But they say they're good people, so we just have to believe in communism, because they say they favor equality. Even though, I mean, how equal do you think Kim Jong-un is with his subjects? I mean, he's got a fucking palace where he can commission movies to be made, and he has people waiting on his every need, and he has electricity, but nobody else in the country does. I mean, these are not equal countries. That's just a con that they're selling to people. Mm-hmm. And people in America are stupid enough to believe in that, where you have something like 70% of young people say they vote for a socialist candidate and that sort of thing nowadays. And yeah, and like somebody like Bernie Sanders could become, right? I mean, it's possible. If not this cycle, because he had a heart attack or whatever, you know, somebody, one of his disciples, like, I'd be shocked if 50 years from now we don't have President AOC or something, you know?
It's...
Or worse yet, Ilhan Omar.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, do you see, she voted against this recognizing the Armenian genocide. She's not against Muslims committing genocide, like, fundamentally. Like,
yeah.
She met with Erdogan, who denies the Armenian genocide. There's a photo op of them together, and, like, they get along very well. Like, she's on board with him creating a new caliphate and everything. I mean, you've seen the videos of her saying, like, mm-hmm. "Oh, I had my counterterrorism class in high school, college. The professor, he says, Al-Qaeda, and he looks like he does not like Al-Qaeda. But then when he talks about America, he does not have this shocked look like he does not like America. But America is evil, and Al-Qaeda is not." You know, like, that's basically her attitude. She doesn't say the thing where Al-Qaeda is not, but it's strongly implied, right? Like, her view is, like Al-Qaeda, well, these are, like, the freedom fighters for the Muslim world, and she's identifies with that because she's a Muslim. Like, she agrees with their ideology, their religion, everything. Like, she voted for female genital mutilation in Minnesota State Senate. Like, that's what she did. They're trying to shut down the clinics that perform this there in the Somali immigrant community, and she voted to keep them open. She wants this to happen in this country. Like, can we allow this practice to happen? Can we allow children's genitals to be mutilated by either trans people or Muslims or whatever? I just don't think we should, but how can we stop it with this PC culture? I got angry about this issue again. But
I think we're about an hour and 30, So I think we need to go ahead and wrap this up, and I'll try to get this out as soon as possible. Even though mostly it was just like Bible fight talk, like the first part of like closing remarks for a while.
How long did we spend on the actual episode? Did you?
I don't know, maybe like 30 minutes or something.
Okay, like an hour of other stuff.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That's a good justified amount for Watchmen or whatever.
And, I saw that on one of our recent episodes. You put on the show notes extended to closing remarks.
Yeah,
like it was like the closing remarks were like twice as long as the other part of the episode.
It's kind
of
like
I think that was Hunter x Hunter or JoJo or something. I don't know.
Yeah, one of those. I gotta leave in like 2 days to go to Anime Week in Atlanta. And I don't know if I know I said that I was gonna get. I guess I can wait to put this out till next week because I haven't even started editing or anything on the freaking Dragon Ball Super episode. It's supposed to be our Halloween special.
Oh,
and I might have to just come out November 1st. I don't know. Just
you can put this out and say it's like our Halloween special. This will like scare you with how closing remarks are.
Yeah. We'll scare you on how religious we get with closing remarks. Ooh. So, I might as well. Maybe I can just do like a. This is too much of the put like a back to do like a back to back episode or something. Or maybe I can just combine them into a super episode and just say F it. So I don't know. I got 2 days to decide. It's kind of like me throwing a podcast together. Is that one episode of The Simpsons where like Homer struggling to file his income tax like 5 minutes before it's due on April 15th. And he just marks down a bunch of bull crap on like a sheet and just like wraps it up in like scotch tape and just crams it down at a mailbox. Like that's how I feel like putting out a podcast episode.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like I said, I was going to do it by this time and I'm trying to.
Right.
Do what?
I guess all you really have to do is add the songs at the start and the end.
Yeah, I haven't bothered to edit or go through edit and do like any kind of heavy editing in like a very long time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, anyways, but
we have a Ghost in the Shell one sitting there too still.
Yeah, that's going to have to come out next, so. And, yeah, so anyways, I'm going to go ahead and shut this down because I need to, I'm going to watch some Twin Peaks, so I'm going to go to bed, so. Yeah, I bought the other Twin Peaks like DVD set at Walmart today for like $40. It's like all the whole TV series, so I'm looking forward to watching all of that. Anyways, so I'm closing this down. Happy Halloween. I guess this is our Halloween episode or part one Halloween. I don't know what the hell this is. Anyways, so Watchmen.
It's not like the other ones were really that much more related to Halloween. I mean, it could be any one of these three could be considered the Halloween episode because they're all kind of unrelated to Halloween.
I just, whatever. I just got to end this because I can go to bed. So, thank you for listening to Watchmen Cast / Halloween Special / whatever the hell this is. And then we'll come back. I don't have no idea where our next recording is going to be. So, it's probably going to be another Watchmen. So, whatever. Happy Halloween.
Are there eight episodes?
I don't know how long Watchmen's supposed to last for. Just whenever.
Okay.
All right, so I'm done. I'm done with this. Later, guys.
My fire's burning bright. Hunter faces in the